In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of all the saints. And this doesn't just include the saints that we have listed by name on the calendar. It includes everyone who is in heaven right now. Anyone who has ever been saved and is in heaven is commemorated today. So if your grandmother or your parent, one of your parents has gone on to their reward and they're in heaven, they're commemorated today. We can't possibly commemorate all the saints in the history of the church by name. The ones that we have on the calendar are there for particular reasons, usually because they set some kind of an example or something about their life that the church wants to draw our attention to. But there are millions and millions of nameless people to us who are in heaven right now that we're commemorating. But what we have to understand is that we're all called to become saints. This is the last commemoration that's on the traditional Pentecostarian, although we've added one that we'll commemorate next Sunday, All Saints of Russia, which is sort of a tag-along commemoration. But everything that we have been working towards and trying to prepare ourselves for, beginning with the very first Sundays of the Triodion, has led us to this point where we ponder our eternal goal, which is to be one with God and to be with Him for all eternity. St. Paul, when he wrote his epistles to the Romans, very early on in his greeting, he said, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In his epistle to the Corinthians, the first one, he similarly says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." And St. Paul in his epistle to the Hebrews tells us that we're to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So being a saint is not an optional thing. It's not the difference between being in first class versus economy class in heaven. It's the difference between going to heaven or not going to heaven. So if you want to be saved, you need to become a saint. So how do we become a saint? Well, it's easier to ask the question than it is to answer it. But I think St. Paul probably gives us one of the most concise answers in the first two verses of Romans chapter 12. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," he's appealing to all that God has done for our salvation. Because of what Christ has done for us, he beseeches us that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice out of gratitude. That should be our response, that we want to do this. So he's appealing to us by the mercies of God. One thing we should also keep in mind is that the Christians of St. Paul's time, unlike our own, were surrounded by people who offered up animal sacrifices. The pagan Romans constantly offered up animal sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. The Jews also offered up animal sacrifice. And so the Christians might have felt awkward that they were not participating in this. They would have been the odd man out in that culture at that time. But St. Paul is saying, yeah, you do have a sacrifice to offer, and that is yourselves. And he says the offering is to be holy, acceptable to God. We should strive to remove any spot or blemish in our sacrifice by allowing the grace of God to cleanse us of all impurities. When we read the Old Testament law, the criteria for an animal to be sacrificed was that it had to be perfect, without blemish. And of course, the only one that perfectly meets that criteria is Christ himself. But Christ is able to make us a spotless and acceptable sacrifice by the power of the Holy Spirit if we'll simply cooperate with him. But we have to put forth our own effort to apply that grace in our life and to remove those things in our life that are impurities and blemishes. We have to become dead to sin. and not offer up the members of our bodies to sin. We have to let our eyes look on no evil thing. Let our tongue speak no filthy thing. Let our hands do no lawless deed. But rather, our hands should be giving alms. Our mouths should be blessing God and blessing those that curse us and despitefully use us. And our ears should be quick to hear the word of God and the services of the church. If we do this, we will have made ourselves and our members and our entire body an acceptable sacrifice to God. And by offering ourselves to God completely, without holding anything back, we are made holy, because anything that belongs to God is holy by virtue of that fact. God makes it holy. And just as in the Old Testament, when you took a lamb that was just a common lamb and you brought it to the temple and you offered it as a sacrifice, that sacrifice became holy. It was no longer just a simple lamb anymore. It was a holy sacrifice to God. Just like that, you can be sanctified by the power of God if you'll just simply give yourself to God without reservation. And then he says that it's our reasonable service. That could also be translated as our reasonable worship. Some translate the word that's translated reasonable as spiritual, because the word refers to the higher part of our soul. But in the services and the writings of the fathers, you often hear references to us being Christ's rational flock. Animals are irrational. Human beings are rational creatures, at least we like to think that we are. And so the sacrifice of ourselves is a superior sacrifice to the offerings of animals. But when we speak about offering our bodies, some might think that this is excluding the inner man, but it doesn't. It is with our bodies that we live and we act. We either sin or we do good in our bodies. But if there is any doubt about whether St. Paul was applying this to the inner man, whether there was a change of heart that was necessary, he dispels it in the second verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When he talks about this world, the word that's used there is not the word that's for this planet or even for this universe, but it's actually this age. We live in an age that's darkened by evil and rebellion against God. And God has come into this age to establish his kingdom, and we live in a time in which these two kingdoms are at war, and we have to choose which side we're going to be on. We can't be both. We have to be one or the other. And we should not be conformed to the evil of this age, because we belong to the kingdom of the age to come, and so we should be conformed to that age. How do we do this? Well, by the renewing of our minds, by filling our minds with what is good and pure and virtuous, and not with the evil that surrounds us. St. John Chrysostom compares this to building and maintaining a home. If you own a home, you don't have an apartment where you can just call the maintenance man. You're constantly having to fix things in your house, particularly when it gets to a certain age. Something's going to break. You're going to have a pipe that's going to start to leak. You're going to have some piece of wood that's going to rot. Your house is going to need a new coat of paint. All of this requires maintenance. And St. John says that when we sin, it's like something in the house of our soul becomes old or broken. And this may happen every day. But we can renew the house of our souls each day by repentance and by doing good. And this we have to do constantly and vigilantly. Just like someone who wants to maintain their home, we have to do that. Otherwise, what happens? If you have a neighbor, maybe, or maybe yourself, that you don't maintain your house will start to fall apart. And if you let that go long enough, it will literally cave in on you if you don't maintain it. Well, our souls are the same way. We have to maintain them every day. We have to make an assessment of where we are spiritually, and then by God's grace, to make those repairs. Then he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. St. John says that on the one hand, this means that by renewing our mind, by repentance and doing good, we come to know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But also it means that as we come to know over time what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, we are better able to renew our mind. So this is a constant process of us growing in grace. So each and every day, We need to offer ourselves to God wholly and completely and without reservation. We need to rededicate ourselves. Christ in the Gospels talks about taking up our cross daily. Every day we have to offer ourselves again as a sacrifice to God. And we have to strive to make the sacrifice a worthy sacrifice by allowing God to make us holy. And we need to not be conformed to the evil of those that surround us who do not know God, but be transformed by daily renewing our mind through repentance and doing what we know we should do, so that we may more and more come to know and live in accordance with the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen.